be helpful and healthy. And that potential is in all of us because we are prone to take the good things and mess them up. Love can become a very selfish thing, that I love something for its own or for my own benefit, that I love another person because I benefit from it, because this person loves me back or gives me what I want. I love this person. Love is something so tricky that if we want to do it right, we don't have all the tools to get it right. So what is love when it's right? Paul gives a very good description, by the way, in another book that he writes, or rather a letter that he writes in the Bible, and I read it to you from the Message, just to give it a different flavor. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than self. Love does not want what it doesn't have. Love does not strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with everything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Whoa. Let's take that measuring stick and look what love looks like in your life. Is that what you do? But this is what he explains what love is like, what true love is like. And we know we don't have it in us. We really do not have it in us. In our text, coming back to what we just read in our scripture, and I read it again from the Message this time, just to give it a different, flavor to that. It says in verse 17, "For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with the free spirit, just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness." These two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and another times another way how you feel on any given day. So Paul states that people left on their own are not producing that kind of godly good love. So if you leave people on their own, if you take a whole bunch of people, put them together, let them create a society, let them create a government, let them create something, and it will never be perfect. We know that. How do we know that? Well, look around. Look at your workplace. Is your workplace a loving, caring environment where everybody looks out for the other one first before for themselves? Is it really? Is there not competition? Is there not people who are mean, who are talk behind their backs, who are envious, who have self-interest to promote themselves? Isn't that not normal? And we try to cope with that and try to get along with it. See, that is what we create on our own. That's what we are capable of. We don't have it in us. It develops, and we have heard it, all kinds of things that are negative, and I don't want to read it again because we can read it up in this text. So our journey into what it means to become a loving person has to first of all recognize I don't can control it. I don't have it in me, because there's everything else in me. There's selfish ambition. There's me. There's ego. That's what dwells in me. And that messes everything up, which is actually meant for good. And if that comes in control or controls my love, it is actually dangerous. And the last one, I can't really become more loving because I can't do it alone. Well, if we haven't understood it by now, we have to say it one more time. I can't do it alone. If not in me, if I don't have control, I need help. Very simple. I need help. I need somebody and something else that will help me on this journey to become more loving. Truth is, I, by myself, all alone, am the most loving person in the world. I am. I get along with me, love whatever I do. But if it wouldn't be for people, they mess it up. And that's how it is. Love is actually only something that needs to be produced and practiced in community. But it's also something where I need help with in order to become that kind of person who is capable of loving another person truly, really, the way how it should be. Oh, it's funny. I mentioned it many times when people are in love and they're premarital counseling and they're so in love. And it's good. Falling in love is good. And I often wish that we could do counseling after the first year of marriage. And all of us who are married know what I'm talking about. Because then you really get to know each other. And all of a sudden, the loving person might not be that loving as you thought he or she would be. A lot of quirks, a lot of stuff that's going on there, and you have to deal with that. So how we go from there? We can do it. We need help. We don't have it in us. How do I become a loving person? Well, there is hope. I want to become a loving, more loving, and God wants it for me too. That's awesome. That's good news. God wants this for me too. If I turn to Him and say, God, I want to become a loving person, He will say, wonderful, me too. I want you to become a more loving person. That's all I wanted all along, that you want become one of become a loving person like me. How does that work? First of all, we have to see God wants that too, because God is love. That's one of those very simple sentences in the Bible in 1 John where it says very simply, God is love. It's very rare that there is clear definitions about about God in the Bible. That's one of them. God is love. It's such a foundational principle. He does not have love. He has that. But not only he doesn't have love, he is love in his own as a being. God is love. The best description of who God is. God is self-sacrificing, generous, unconditional love. And here is the interesting thing, and you may have heard it, but it's good to contemplate on that. God is love. Why? Because God exists in three persons. That's one of the mysteries of theology, is the Trinitarian being of God. Oh, that's a big word, but the Trinitarian being of God. God exists in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And they have existed in all eternity as three persons. And if God talks about love, He is practicing love among Himself in His threefold being all along. So He's not talking about theory, how theoretically love looks like. He says, that's what I practice in my inner being because that's why I'm love. I am love because this flows in our relationship that we have as a Trinity among each other. So God does not theorize about love, He practices it. And this is the kind of love that is not just contained, obviously, among them three, and they would be totally happy with that. But the even better news than just the good news is that this love is reaching beyond Himself. It says the most famous text in the world that all of us know and everyone creeps up is John 3:16. This is how much God loved Himself. Oh no. This is how much God loved the world, you and me, that He gave His Son, His one and only Son. So this is the kind of God who is. God is the God who reaches out. He is not just hanging together and all you and me and happy family and kumbaya. And no, this is the kind of love that is reaching out above and beyond Himself. And last Sunday we heard this one once, and I think it's so true for all of us. He loved the unloving because that's all of us. He loved the unloving. He reached out to them. And the whole Bible is full of that, of stories how that happened. What He did from the first book of the Bible to the last book of the Bible. It's a story about this kind of love that reaches out. He reaches out. He says in 1 John, where the verse actually comes on, the person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God. Because God is love. So you can't know Him if you don't love. This is how God showed us His love for us. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. So God gives of Himself to love us. And not just theoretically, not by a book that He threw in our lap and said, hey, read that. It's about me. It's about my love. No, He did something. He sent Jesus Christ into this world. And we have since then a testimony of His love. How Jesus acted toward other people. How He talked about God and how He even did with His own life, that He sacrificed Himself for us, for you and me. God didn't just talk, He acted. This is love. God wants us to be that kind of God too, of love too, because God is love. And the second thing we have to see, because love is from God. Seems to be the same thing, but it's a little bit different. God is love, and love is from God. Love is a gift from God. Love is something that God shares with us, that He wants to recreate in us, that we have this kind of love in us and live this kind of love that God wants for us to live. Let me read this text one more time, and again, we will hear it over and over again, verse 13 and 14 in the message. It is absolutely clear that God has called us for free life. Just make sure that you don't use your freedom as an excuse to whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence, love others as you love yourself. That is the act of true freedom. This kind of God who is love invites us to live in freedom. And the freedom is meant for love. That we have freedom to love others. That we are free from the love of the slavish love for ourselves. That we can truly reach out to love others like God loved us as well. And you can't achieve that freedom by trusting your own resources. It always leads to the bad things that we have heard before. We need to attach ourselves to love in order to be loved. Now, how does this work? It sounds so great, and we might be moved by all the thoughts. But how does that work? What does it mean that God is love and that love is from God? What does that mean for me to become more loving? What does it mean? I want to become more loving as a last point, and I will. How? How will I become now more loving? If God wants it and I want it, how does it now work? In our text, he points out that he has given us of his Spirit. And the Spirit indwells those who submit their lives to Jesus, which includes our surrender of our own self-efforts and opening ourselves up for Jesus. So, if we look at this text, what Paul is telling us, in other words, in order to become more loving, don't focus on being more loving. Oh, but that's the point. If you want to become more loving, don't focus on becoming more loving. What are you supposed to do? You are supposed to walk in step with the Spirit. That sounds very strange. Or it says, in other words, when I line up with the Spirit, then I will become more loving. Now, that is interesting. I become more loving when I line up with the Spirit. How does it work? How can I not focus on becoming more loving and then become more loving? I mean, it doesn't make sense, does it? Well, Paul says, line up with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. It says in verse 16, my counsel is this, live freely, animated and motivated by the Spirit of God. Then you won't feed the compulsion of selfishness. Later on, it said, since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads, as a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our life. So here's the one mystery that is being solved, how to become more loving. We have to keep in step with the Spirit. What does the Spirit do in us when we keep in step with him? That says if we follow him, if we listen to him, if we open ourselves to him, what does he do? One of the great tasks of the Holy Spirit in us is to confirm in us that we are loved. I do think that we have all a great lack of love in our lives. And those of us who have had the tragedy of not being really loved by parents know what I'm talking about, what that means. If you have a lack of love in your life that is pervasive to all in all other areas of life, if you cannot even shake it most of the time to the end of your life, that you have this lack of love because you're craving it, you're looking for it all over in all different places. You want to be loved and you make yourself lovable to other people, and it's a driving force. And while you're doing it, you're not capable of loving because it is automatically selfish because you're looking for it to be loved. So you try to be more loving so that others love you back. And you see how that vicious cycle goes? Because we have a deep lack of love in our hearts. And there is somebody, God himself, who wants to fill that void and wants to bring it to your attention that the Holy Spirit is here to bring that to your mind, that you are deeply, deeply loved as a child of God. That you understand his greatness of love, that it floods into your soul and into your heart and your mind. I am loved. No matter what others think about me, what they say about me, no matter what I even think about myself, no matter what sins I have committed, no matter what shame is in my life, I am loved. And God has proven this love in sending Jesus Christ, letting him die on that cross, and here comes it all together. And the Holy Spirit is the one who brings it to your mind, and he reminds me of that. And you might find sometimes it's a struggle, it's something that you can't believe, and it's true. For many years of my life, I couldn't believe it, that God loved me. Struggled with that. How, God, can you love me? How can you love me if you really would know me? But there it is in his word where it says very clearly, he loves me. He gave his only son for me. And that's why it's so important that we keep in step with the Spirit, that we stay close to him, that we spend time with the Holy Spirit. And it means that we spend time with God in his word, how he speaks to us, and stay very close to what he says to us. Keep in step with the Spirit. Hear this message from him speaking into your life over and over again. You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. I love you dearly. I gave my life for you. You are special in my sight. I have given everything I have for you. You are awesome. And that's not anyone saying it. It's somebody saying who knows you through and through, who will not be disappointed when he discovers some dark sides, because he knows him already. And he says, I love you. And it's a love that not waits for us to love him back. It is an unconditional love, a love that just loves, if you can imagine that. It just loves. So what does it do to you? Just think for a moment. If you would, for one moment, for one second, grasp the idea you are loved, you could stop looking for it. You could afford not to make yourself lovable to everyone and please everyone. You could afford doing that. You could just be loved and dwell in the fact that you are deeply loved. Could you do that? To love others, because you don't worry about that anymore. You don't care about whether they bring love back to you. You can just love. And if they love you back, wonderful. If they don't, okay. Because I'm a loved person. I'm not reliant on their love. What a freeing thought that would be. Keep in step with the Spirit. Secondly, hold your ground. When I hold my ground. See, Paul is talking here. We have to come to a close. It's very over time, I know. Could talk a little bit about this. But secondly is when I hold my ground. There's a battle going on. He talks about the spirit and the flesh. So this is not just a clear cut. There is something going on in my life. When I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, there is a battle going on. And I have to be aware of that. It's not always that it's, oh, I'm loved and that lasts forever. No, tomorrow could be the next challenge. And you doubt that again. And you start, what is going on here? Hold your ground. Stay true to the ground and say, I am where I am and I am loved by God. Hold your ground. Hold your ground. Stay, keep in step with the Spirit. And lastly, when I hold on to who I am. Keep in step with the Spirit. Hold your ground. And remember who you are. You are a child of God. I am a child of God. I have all the love that is needed to fill my heart and every void in my life. I am his and he is mine. And as we are in this process of being loved, we will notice how that little root of love is growing in me. That I can have the strength to love the neighbor, to love the other person, because that person is also loved by God. Here it is again. What happens when I live God's way? That's how the message says it. He brings gifts into our lives, much in the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion of the heart, a conviction that basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments. Not needing to force our way into life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. You want to become more loving? Stay close to the Spirit. Stay close. Hear him. Listen to him. Go to the places of prayer and reading the Word of God as often as you can, so that you hear the message spoken into your life. And you will know that the transforming work of the Spirit is working in you, that you become more loving. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that wonderful gift, the wonderful gift that you are sharing your life with us, and that you want to do this in us and through us, that we become these people who are full of love. But let us first really yield ourselves to the love that you have given to us, staying close, keeping in step with the Spirit, letting him speaking his truth into our lives, soaking up all the love that you have poured out over us, so that in that kind of love we can have so much that we can give it out freely, because there is an unlimited supply of love in you. Help us, God, to live that way this week, even today, as we leave this church and go about our daily tasks, that we are people who stay close to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.